Okay, we ready? Tell me when you're ready. Okay. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. John 12, verses 47 and 48. Here we go again. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. John 12, verses 47 and 48.
You know what? This is our last study, and I know I mentioned it last week about I'm so proud of all of you who have stuck it out to the end, and you're here at the very end of it, and you have looked at John as if you had seen it for the first time. You've been through John before. I know that you, like me, have learned new things as we've gone through this book, and I've gone through this book a number of times, and still there were things that were new to me and exciting to me to find out. So I'm really proud of you for having done that. You guys are real troopers, and I know that it's because you love the Lord, and you just want to know him better. God is so good. He has been so good to us. This morning, I shared with the ladies this morning, last night I went to print my notes out, and my printer decided it didn't want to do anything. And so it jammed up, and then it had all these lights flashing, you know, and it was like, push that button before it goes out. Oh, no, that one. And I couldn't get it to print at all. And then I had to, okay, so I don't have any notes. And so then I'll send the notes to the church, and then I will print them out in the morning. And so then I had to, when I went to send them, I sent them the wrong way, so they came out in letter form, and then I just was like, oh my gosh, I got to do it. So I had to make it into a PDF, and then I had to make an attachment, and I had to do all this stuff just to get my notes. And I don't know if you know, but when you're studying from notes on paper, it's just different. I usually get up at 5 o'clock on every Tuesday morning so that I can go over my notes, just spend some time with the Lord and just get my head in the right place. And I'm trying to read my notes from the screen, and it's just different. It's just different. And so I did come in early, and I got them printed off, and I was just like a wreck when I got in here. It was just there have been things that have been things piling up one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. And, you know, you kind of feel sometimes like if one more thing happens, I really am, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to explode. My whole body is just going to explode. I don't know. And, but God is so good. God is always good, and he always makes a way for us to have whatever we have need of. So as I told them in this morning, even though I've gone over these notes for tonight, if I say something stupid, just let it go, please. And no, it's not meant from the heart. So I read a thing about a true friend is when you make a fool of yourself, they don't think that you've done a permanent job. And I think that all of you guys are like that with me, and I appreciate that so much. I also was telling the ladies this morning about the shirt that I have on. It's I've always been a strong proponent of when someone is speaking to not draw attention to themselves. and I realized that I have failed in what I wore today. So I kept it on tonight so that I could make that comment. So, you know, just keeping it light a little bit tonight. So I get it all together and I can't find out where it's at. You know, it's just kind of confusing. But I got to tell you, this blouse was marked at $109. Okay, so the store that I went to was going out of business, closing their brick and mortar store. And so I went in and I had my eye on this for a long time. And I was trying to figure, okay, with this much off, okay, I can pay that with this much off. And then when I went to check it out, it was $12. And even the lady that was checking it out said, it's $12. And I said, oh, okay. And then she said, I said, well, is that okay? She said, I don't think it's supposed to be $12. I don't think it's supposed to be $12. But because they were closing, she said, it rang up $12. What are they going to do, fire me? So now I have this great shirt, and I really love it. And somebody told me it was sparkly because we're talking about the light. So, you know, I just needed a little bit sparkles today. So, God is so good. And so, Father, I just come before you, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for that precious prayer that my husband prayed. And just thank you that you have gone before us, Lord, and you've prepared the way, and you know what is ahead of us today. Lord, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would speak, that I would speak your word. Father, I pray that the things that are heard are directly from you and that we'd be sensitive to your voice. We thank you for the anointing that you have poured out on us today, Lord. And thank you for your word. And thank you, Father, that you are here. And we want to bless you and honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'm going to start with verse 24 of chapter 12. Because last week I was very flippant about this particular verse, I kind of let it go and didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. And I think the Lord reminded me that, excuse me, we're going to talk about that tonight. So in verse 24, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. And I remember last week saying, you all understand that, right? You all know if you got to put a seed in, it has to die and it has to grow up. And you know that it produces a bunch of stuff. So, you know, I glossed over it and I missed what God wanted to say to you. And so I apologize for that. And I tell you today that Jesus tells of his death and his resurrection in this portion of our text. Wheat is unfruitful as long as it is preserved in safety and security. Wheat is unfruitful as long as it is kept in safety and security. It must be buried in the ground. It must be buried in the ground and there as if in a tomb so that it can bear fruit. It is only by death that we truly have life. It is only through the death of our old self that we truly have life, that we allow who I was to be dead and to come into that new life that only Christ can give us. And so as we move into the text that we have for today, it brings us to our text today. We're starting in verse 27. More and more of the thoughts of the Lord were on the events that were in just a few days. He was thinking of the cross. Jesus was thinking of the cross. He was contemplating the time when he would become the sin bearer and would endure the wrath of God against our sins. He would bear the wrath of God for our sins. He's contemplating that. And as he's contemplating that, he says, how should he pray in a time like this? Should he ask his Father to save him from this hour? How do we pray when we are in the midst of a trial? Lord, would you deliver us from it? But no, in our text tonight, it says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. For this purpose I came for this hour. You all have a purpose in your life. Every one of you have a purpose in your life. I have a purpose in my life. God has given each one of us a purpose. He gave Jesus the purpose in his life, and his purpose was to die for the sins of all the world. That's why he was here. And he says, he goes on to say, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. He couldn't pray that way in verse 27, but for this purpose I came to this hour. This was the very purpose of his coming into the world, to go to the cross, which I've already said. He was born to die. Instead of praying that he would be saved from the cross, the Lord Jesus prayed that the name of the Father would be glorified. Instead of, Lord, would you just deliver me from this no matter what? Would you just deliver me? No, that the name of the Lord would be glorified, the name of the Father. He was more interested that the honor should come to God the Father than in his own comfort or safety. He was more interested that the glory would go to the Father than he was in his own comfort and his own safety. I don't know, when I'm in the midst of a trial, I'm not thinking about someone else's comfort and someone else's situation. I am thinking about myself. This is hard. God, this is hard. How am I going to make it through this? God, this is hard. But no, I was here for such a purpose. Remember that nothing gets to us without going through God first. Nothing gets to me without the clearance from the Father. He knows what I'm going through. He has okayed it, just as he did with Job. When Satan went back and forth throughout the whole earth, and he looked at Job and he said, well, if you stop blessing him, let me do something with it. No, Job will continue to praise me. And he gave him the clearance to go ahead and for Job to go through what he went through. I have never taught Job, because I have learned at an early age and an early time in my teaching that whatever I teach is what I go through. And so far, God has not required me to teach Job. And I'm very excited about that. And the very mention of his name worries me right now as I'm thinking about teaching through the book of Job. That the enemy was allowed to put Job through the things that he went through. But God was with him. He always made a way for him. Glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, it says. Therefore, the people, then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. So then a voice comes from heaven. Some standing there would mistake the voice of God for thunder. They weren't used to hearing the voice of God. They weren't used to hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. Are we used to hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd? Am I used to hearing his voice? What God did for Jesus, he does for everyone. When he sends us out on a road, he doesn't send us out without direction and without guidance. God does not send you someplace without direction and without guidance. He's gone before you in every situation you're in. He has gone before you in every single situation. He's been tempted in every way that you could be tempted, and yet without sin. When he gives us something to accomplish, he gives us the strength to go through it. God's not silent when the challenges of life come and they feel like they're too much for us, and our efforts of staying on his way are way beyond our human capacity to do it. He doesn't leave us. As we walk through those times, if we will listen, we will hear him speak, and we will go on with his strength, pushing us forward, always going forward. Don't stop. Don't just stop in the midst of a trial. Don't just stop and stay there. Always pushing forward, moving forward through it, because when we stop, we're going backwards. And we need to push forward and see what God has for us. Our trouble is not that God does not speak, but that we don't listen. Now, this is the third time we're seeing the Father's voice as being mistaken for thunder. The first time that we saw it was at Jesus' baptism, when the father said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." The next time would be at the Transfiguration as he talked with Moses and he talked with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. What were they talking about? They were talking about Jesus' decease, that he was going to die. And now here we have him talking once again. In every occasion it had to do with his death. He was always talking about his death. It says a voice came from heaven. I hear God's voice. I don't hear voices. Just thought I'd clear that up, just in case there was a concern in your mind. But I do hear God's voice. And I hear God's voice when I'm reading his word. I hear God's voice when I'm praying. And you're going to ask, is it audible? Do you hear an audible voice? Yes, I do, when it's coming through a person that is teaching the word of God. And I know that it's God speaking directly to me. Yes, I do hear God's voice audibly because it's coming through a person. And so listening for the voice of God. I know that it's God's voice because I've become accustomed to hearing the good shepherd's voice. I'm a sheep, and he said, "My sheep hear my voice." And so I am confident when I hear his voice. I am familiar with his voice. Now, do I never mistake a voice and go a different direction? There have been times when I've listened to another voice and gone a different direction. But I know the voice of God. I know the voice of God, and I'm going to continue to walk in the way that he tells me to walk. But we must keep listening. We must die to self if we are truly to hear God speaking to us. And so we move on into verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." I just want you to know that I know the voice of my Father. I didn't have to pray this out loud, but he did pray it out loud so that for their sake, so that the Father would speak to them out loud. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. I want to bring this out. And I talked about it this morning. It really annoys me in my translation. This is a New King James Version. It's a recent New King James Version. And it doesn't use the word man in there. It doesn't say, "Draw all men unto me." Now, do you know what it means when it says, "I'll draw all men to me"? Does it mean that it's only going to be a man? Only the men get to come to God? Of course not. We understand that we're talking about mankind. Just because it has the word man in it doesn't mean that it's just for the men or just for a man. It means for everyone. It means for all mankind. Yet my translation chose to put the word peoples in there. And that annoys me. It really annoys me that we have to give way to the ways of the world. Just be in the ways of the world. And we have that in our translations, in our Bibles. And again, that's why I'm keeping my old Bibles and reading my old Bibles, because I have trusted them. They're not changing in things like this. And you look at it and you say, "Well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. I mean, they're just using the word peoples over man." But they are instilling in us a little bit at a time. In the last days, the enemy will work at the wearing down of the saints. And in these things, the enemy is working at the wearing down of the saints. It's a little thing. It's not a big deal, and I can shut up about it now, and we'll talk about Jesus now. But it just, I want you to know how much it annoys me. Not that you can do anything about it, but you needed to know how much it annoys me. So we need to keep listening. And so now it's time for the judgment of this world, for Satan has to no longer have a hold on this world. Why is there still sin? If Satan no longer has a hold on this world, why is there still sin? Because I have a sin nature. We all have a sin nature. And so Satan is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not omni-anything. He can't be everywhere all the time. And so he's not attacking us all the time. But we are drawn away by our own sinful nature. We are tempted, and then we are drawn away by our own sinful nature. So it wasn't that Satan no longer, it says this, the ruler of this world will be cast out. And that's exactly what happened at that time. Satan's only hold is based on sin, based on him getting a foothold in our lives. We allow for sin, and it gets a foothold in our lives. And before we know it, we're in a place that we didn't expect to be in. So we allow him to take us to that place. But we don't have to give in to that, because Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I am lifted up, if I am brought on that cross, it's about the cross. It's always about the cross. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Everyone has the opportunity to be drawn to Jesus and accept the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Drawing, he draws us. And I get this picture I mentioned this morning that it's like I've been lassoed around the waist. And he's just drawing me closer to him. And sometimes I'm going to fight against that, and it's going to be uncomfortable when I fight against the will of God. But he continues to just draw me to his side, draw me to himself. And so, we can't give way to that. We allow ourselves to walk in his ways. And verse 32 tells of his death. It says clearly, this he said, signifying by what death he would die. It says it clearly there. If I go to the cross and people accept that price was paid by me, Jesus is saying, if I go to the cross and people accept that price that was paid by me for them, it will draw all men unto me. But you must accept it. You must accept it. It's not enough to just know about it. You must accept it, because they hear the Good Shepherd's voice. That's why you will come, because you are familiar with the Good Shepherd's voice. They didn't understand. So what happened after that? The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And so we have it right here. Who is this Son of Man? They didn't understand that the Messiah would come first as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of sacrifice, but he would come a second time as the Lion. They didn't understand that. Now it's being made clear to them. And then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. And so, they didn't understand about that. So Jesus didn't answer. You notice that Jesus didn't answer their question. He says, take action while the light is with you. Take action while the light is with you, while the sparkle is still there. Don't walk in darkness, because I guarantee you that the darkness will overtake you and you won't even know where you're going. Darkness will overtake you while you have the light. While you have me with you, Jesus would say, believe that you might be called sons and daughters of God. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the light. Stay close to Jesus. Don't get all wrapped up in theology. Don't get all wrapped up in... Well, this is the way the last days are going to go. And so I spent all my time figuring out how the last days are going to be here. Don't get all wrapped up in something else, because it will take you away from Jesus. Get all wrapped up in Jesus. In the last days, there are people who get so wrapped up in knowing, well, did Jesus have blue eyes? Did he have brown eyes? What color hair did he have? And they want to know what Jesus looked like. They're all wrapped up in that instead of knowing who he was, instead of having an intimate relationship with him. They get all, let's get all the books together and let's get all the things together that prove my theory. They know all about him, but they don't know him personally. They don't know him intimately. The people who say, we did this for you, and we did that for you, Lord. And he will say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. We did not have an intimate relationship. You were so busy learning about me that you never learned me. You never came close to me. We knew all about him, but you didn't know him personally. In verse 37, but although he had done so many signs, boy, that reading was kind of pitiful, wasn't it? But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. And so miracles do not produce faith. Miracles do not produce faith. Although he had done so many signs before them, miracles do not produce faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith arrives, Romans 10:17. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. And that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Go, when you go home tonight, read chapter 11 of Hebrews. It is the hall of faith. The people who, all of the things that happened to the people that had a faith in Christ Jesus, who walked in the faith, who stood in, and some died and some lived, and all of these things that happened to them. Read it on your own. Find out what God has to say to you through that hall of faith and see if it doesn't encourage you. And it says in verse 37, I want you to notice that it says that they would not believe. They did not believe. They would not believe. And in 38, that first word that is that should be translated consequently. So they would not believe. Consequently, they could not believe. In verse 39, so they would not believe. So they, consequently, they could not believe. In verse 39, and in verse 40, so they should not believe. This ratifies their unbelief. Unbelief that is from unbelief will harden our hearts to a place where we cannot believe. We will not believe. Today is the day of salvation. If God speaks to you today, do not harden your heart. But move when he says for you to move. It was simply a consequence of their unbelief. It's always just a consequence of unbelief. And in verse 41, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. And that is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And that says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Where else do you read that? You read that in the book of Revelation of what Jesus looked like. High and lifted up on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We know that to be Jesus in Revelation. We also know that to be Jesus in Isaiah. When he saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, Jesus is in fact Jehovah. Jehovah of the Old Testament. He appears in that vision in the Old Testament, and he appears in that vision in the New Testament. So when the Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, You tell them in chapter 6 of Isaiah, verse 1, it says that Jesus is Jehovah. It is the same one that is in Revelation. They can't argue with you on that. And so you have that little thing to in your back pocket when they come to your door. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Please do not do that. Do not get yourself in that place where you just want the praise of men. You put it higher than the praise of God. It says, among the rulers, many believed, but they didn't want to give up their position. They didn't want to give up anything. They wanted Jesus and. But Jesus says, you've got to die to yourself. And it just doesn't work when you do that. If you don't, so they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. While the opinion of men might matter for the few years in which we live on this earth, the judgment of God matters throughout all eternity. It's true wisdom to prefer the good opinion of God to the good opinion of men. It's always better to be right for eternity than it is to be right for time. To set your eyes on Jesus. And then Jesus cried out in verse 44 and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light in the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness, not remain there, not live there, not linger there. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I don't judge him. For I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. If you don't believe me, the words that I say will be the judgment on you. Jesus is saying, I am the antidote to sin. I am the antidote to sin. Now, John Corson gave a wonderful illustration about an antidote for something of just a made-up story. I happen to know someone who was lived in the desert, when we lived out in the desert, and she is my illustration for today. She decided to drink some bleach. And why she decided that, I don't know. She just decided to drink the bleach, and immediately changed her mind. And you know that is true of people who think about taking their lives. It's been proven by people who have jumped off of bridges or jumped off of areas and have survived. They have said, the moment I jumped off, I didn't want to do it. But then it was too late. They were already there and the possibility of them dying. So why she did it, I don't know. But she drank it, and immediately she she was sorry for what she had done, and she quickly read the instructions on the bottle for the antidote. She fortunately retained some of her voice. Not much, but some. And she lived to tell the story. Well, what if she had looked at the back of that bottle and said, you know, that looks like an interesting thing that could maybe work, but I don't know. I've heard people tell stories about that before, and I don't think it worked for them, so I'm not going to use it. It probably is not going to work. I don't believe that it's going to work. What if she made excuses as to why she was not going to do it their way, someone else's way? What if she had not believed the words on the label, the written word? What if? But she chose to believe, and her voice and her life was saved because Jesus is the antidote to sin. As the antidote was for the bleach, so is Jesus the antidote for sin in our lives. He came that we might have eternal life. In verse 49, it says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Shouldn't we do the same? I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And verse 50, "And I know that his command is everlasting life. And because the Father and I are one, therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." These are the last words that Jesus will say to people at large. He will talk with his disciples. He will go before Pilate, but no more talk to the people. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, all that we have known and did not do will be a witness against us at the last. All that we knew, all that we have known and did not do will be a witness against us at the last. The question will be, what did you do with Jesus? It's the only question that will be asked. What did you do with Jesus? And so, Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that you have gone before us in every area, that you've shown us your way. Lord, help us to listen intently for your voice, to make ourselves quiet so that we can hear from you, Lord, to get out of the excitement and the busyness of the day and just sit at your feet and listen for your voice. Listen to you speak to us, Lord. It's so hard for us to sit in silence. It's so hard for us not to make noise. But as you spoke to the prophets in the still small voice, you weren't in the wind. You weren't in the rains. You weren't in any of that. It was your still small voice that was heard. And so, Lord, would you make us sensitive to your voice? Help us to do whatever we can to listen to you and to walk in your ways, Lord. Thank you for these ladies who have committed themselves to this Bible study, Lord, and will continue to be in your word throughout the summer. Thank you, Lord, for their commitment to you. Thank you, Lord, that they have made a decision that they are going to follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back now. No matter what happens, no matter how hard it gets, I will not turn back. We make that commitment to you tonight, Lord, that we will not turn back. Father, we thank you that you have gone before us. We thank you for this study that you've put together. We thank you, Lord, that you have taught every word that's been said from this pulpit, Lord, that you have given direction through everyone who has stood here. Help us to listen intently for your voice and to give you honor and glory and praise to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go into your small groups, if you could just listen for just one second, as you go into your small groups today, for the last time this session, would you cherish this time? Would you cherish this time? Would you savor this time? We never know when it's the last time. We talked last week about we never know when it's going to be the last kiss goodbye. We never know when it's going to be the last hug. We never know when it's going to be the last smile. I'm not trying to talk in ways that are, oh, we could all die. Like, but we don't know. So cherish every moment. Savor the friendships that you have. Cherish them. And over the summer, get together with one another. Go get coffee together. Go get a meal together. Just a few of you all can't go at the same time in your small group. Fine. Some of you go. And just enjoy each other's company. And talk about the Lord. Talk about his goodness. Talk about his grace. And thank you guys all for being here. I love you all. So God bless you.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.